Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, July the 21st, 2020. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano joins me this morning. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning to you, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
Chris is filling in for Fred Jackson.
He is.
Fred's away. Fred's away. No, you can talk in third person if you want to, Chris. We don't care. Tim does it. You know,
Ed's in favor of it.
So go ahead.
Chris Woodward will do so for the remainder of the program.
So filling in for Fred, how's the newsroom running over there without?
It's running well. I tell you though, we joke every time that he is away on vacation that something big is going to happen, and it's Tuesday, so something big is going to happen this week. Literally every time Fred is away on vacation, something huge happens. But Jody Brown is running the ship for us at the moment. Jody is the editor for our website, onenewsnow.com, and so he's calling the shots in Fred's absence.
Hey, folks, take advantage of that onenewsnow.com daily news brief.
Oh, yeah.
Five days a week, we send out once a day,
in the middle
of the afternoon typically, a news brief. That's been very popular with our listeners.
It really has. And one of the states where we get a lot of clicks on links is California. So we don't necessarily have a large station presence there. We have listeners. I've taken donations from people in our share-a-thons.
They listen on the app.
They listen on the app, yeah. And then
we have one station affiliate in California.
And if you are listening to this program and you've donated money, you've helped make that happen. We are reaching people in California with all kinds of news stories.
And let me get back to One News Now, this we're talking about. This news brief, it costs a lot of money to get that, doesn't it?
It costs you time. That's about it. And really
zero
not a lot
money.
Of time. Right. Yeah,
it's free.
We don't have a paywall. I know that's super annoying. I hear people complaining all the time, I don't want to pay to read your news. We don't make you do that. We don't make you pay money for the
email.
So
you're saying our news is worthless. Thank you. Thank you, people, for encouraging us here.
I do. Chris Woodward does what he can.
All right. But seriously, the One News Now daily news brief is free. Take advantage of it. It synopsizes the news of the day and gives you the Christian news as well.
Yeah.
Every day, Monday through Friday, and we have hundreds of thousands of people that get that, right?
Yes. And Jody Brown, Billy Davis, Melanie Manning, all of our editors, they do a great job of really deciding.
How do I get that, Chris?
Go to onenewsnow.com, and on the right side of the page is an area, a little box where you can enter your email, and it says sign up for daily news.
One or 2 minutes to do.
Click subscribe, fill out your name, email address, where you might live, state, things like that.
And by the way, we don't sell or rent your email. So if you sign up for the One News Now daily news brief, you get it Monday through Friday. We don't have weekend delivery yet. Do we? I don't think so.
I don't get it on the weekend myself.
Yeah. So, but it's free, and again, your email is confidential. We're not going to give it away, so don't be worried about that. Take advantage of that. Hundreds of thousands of people do every day. The onenewsnow.com news brief. All right, Ed, you want to tell folks how they can check us out on that there internet?
That's right. If you want to watch this program, you simply go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues, click through, and you'll be able to see our smiling, sometimes frowning faces, depending on the news story. And you can watch the program. Sometimes we will gesture wildly. You'll be able to watch Tim after a break come back with popcorn and eat some popcorn.
That's moving.
It really is. Some people like to watch it, as it unfolds.
And our Facebook page, we put the stories up there that we discuss.
That is correct. Brent Creeley, our producer, posts those stories. And so a lot of premium content comes your way if you watch online.
Chris, what's happening?
Well, Rusty Pugh had a little bit of this in the newscast that aired just before the program. For those not aware of the situation, though, we're going to begin with news involving the McCloskeys. This is the man and wife, Patricia and Mark McCloskey, in the St. Louis area that recently used their lawfully obtained and purchased weapons to defend their personal property as protesters were moving down their street. The latest information with this is that Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey have now been charged by Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner for felony unlawful use of a weapon. Charges could involve up to 4 years in prison and a fine of $10,000. And as you might expect, Mr. McCloskey and a number of people have appeared on news programs to talk about this. I actually have some sound here from Mr. McCloskey himself. He was on Tucker Carlson's program last night talking about the charges and the case against him. Clip one.
Well, it's a totally upside down world, Tucker. The people that broke into my neighborhood, they're all trespassing. None of those people are arrested. None of those people are charged. The prosecutor, the circuit attorney, has apparently decided that her job as a prosecutor isn't to keep us safe from criminals, but to keep the criminals safe from us. It's a bizarre upside down world. I've been a little irritated by this process until today. This has gotten to be outrageous.
Now, he mentioned bizarro, upside-down world. Just about everything in the news cycle now is. I'm not surprised to see something like this, but at the same time, I think a lot of people would say this is ridiculous. You can't even defend yourself.
Well, and this this gentleman that you're talking about, what's his first name? It's McCloskey. Mark McCloskey. He's, as far as I can tell, this is a liberal man. He's a Democrat. Votes for Democrats.
I've seen that. Yes.
And in turn, gives money to Democratic candidates. I believe, you tell me if I'm not correct here, Chris, that his occupation as an attorney has been his lifetime, or at least for decades, he defends criminals.
It's, I mean,
he's a defense,
as well.
Defense attorney, sometimes does it for free. This is not a man that you would say he's one of these nutcase law and order people that's always on the side of you know, society, oppressing people. He has spent his life defending people that he believes, you know, face difficult circumstances. Now, all of a sudden, in what is clearly a political prosecution, and that's the opinion of Missouri Governor Mike Parson. Now, he is a Republican governor. The McCloskeys are under the gun, so to speak, play on words.
Right.
And meanwhile, this prosecutor isn't even prosecuting murderers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a crazy story. And you're right. They are kind of going after one of their own here. I've seen and heard a lot of people, center right talk show personalities, talk about how they were wielding a weapon was not the proper way to do it. But that's a different case entirely. Look, you have somebody that can't defend their own property.
To me, though, there should be absolutely no charges brought against this couple.
Correct. That's why I agree.
Absolutely no charges brought against this couple. As the gentleman said, it's a world turned upside down. Let's think about this for a minute. You got hundreds of people, 200 to 300 or more.
I mean, it was a ton of people walking down the street.
Okay, think about this. This is a mob. They're in search of the mayor's house of the city of St. Louis so they can protest at the mayor's house. Now, to get there, they have to break down this. There's no security guard there that I'm aware of. There was only the gate, the metal gate, but it was a gated community.
Right.
They bust through the gate, get into this private neighborhood. They're in the street. These 200 to 300 people. They're out in front of this fellow's house and this lady. They're both attorneys, I think. And they're threatening them. They don't know why they're there. They get their guns out. One gets the automatic weapon. What do you call it?
The AR-15.
That.
Semi-automatic.
And then the wife has the pistol, right?
Right.
And they're scared to death. They don't know what's going to happen next. So, quite frankly, I don't care if they're I don't care if they're pointing the guns at the people. Like she was. He didn't much that I was able to see in the video. So what he's saying is this St. Louis prosecutor, who, by the way, got some of her campaign funds from George Soros.
Right.
She doesn't prosecute any of the people who busted into the private neighborhood. I don't even know if any of them were arrested to prosecute. I don't know if they ever made it to the mayor's house. But none of those people get in any trouble. And you got video. But yet, she charges this couple with, what's the charge?
The charges are a charge for unlawful use of a weapon. That's a Class E felony, which can carry a sentence of up to 4 years in prison and a fine of $10,000.
Okay. This is correct when those who say this is a politically charged prosecution going on here. This is a far, far left social justice warrior who's now has the badge of district attorney, badge, so to speak, and she's using it to not to do justice, but to go after the rich white couple who have guns mm-hmm. and don't want people coming onto their property.
Well, and the McCloskeys claim, now I've not seen much of the video because not much of it is played on news programs. The McCloskeys claim as they're walking past their house, they're yelling at sure. the McCloskeys and saying, we're coming for you next.
Right.
And people are saying, and we're taking your house. And I'm going to live in that bedroom. Is that not correct?
Yeah, burn your house down.
Yeah. Well, it's going to become ours.
Yeah, and there were reports like in the morning after all this takes place. A lot of people were saying, "How hey, this is terrible. These people were just trying to protest and whatever else." How do you tell the difference, really? I mean, we've all seen the news reports. There are people that show up in large numbers to peacefully protest. But a lot of those situations, violent things erupted out of it. I'm not saying the peaceful protesters are the ones looting, but you don't know. You have to make that gut call.
You know what? If this prosecutor was fair and doing her job, she would say, I'm not prosecuting this couple. They had 300 people near their front yard threatening them. They were scared to death like anybody would. They got a gun out. I'm glad nothing happened, but I'm not prosecuting them. In fact, if I find out who it is that's trespassing on their private property, that's who probably will look at.
Yeah.
That's the way she should have answered this. But anyway, the thing is, the mayor, the governor of the state of Missouri,
right,
has said he will pardon the couple should they be, convicted.
Yeah.
You have to be convicted to be pardoned, right?
Correct. Yeah, and he said he would do anything in his power to make sure things like this go away on the federal level.
He has
that
right, obviously. I didn't know.
Sure.
I don't know if that changes state to state, if you have the right to commute or not to commute, but I guess outright pardon.
Yeah. On the federal level, Senator Josh Hawley, who was the attorney general for
Missouri,
he was on Fox and Friends today, and he's called for the Department of Justice to get involved here and investigate the prosecutor. Clip three.
Let's just review the facts. They're on their own property. They were carrying lawful firearms that they lawfully possessed, and there were trespassers who had broken down a gate and were coming onto their property. And a couple said, get off our property. I mean, don't hurt us. Get off of our area. And they had every right to do that. This prosecutor is totally out of control. This is an abuse of power. You want to know what an abuse of power looks like? This is a textbook example. And that's why, Steve, I think the United States Department of Justice needs to open a civil rights investigation into the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Governor Mike Parson, again, I'll be fair, he is Republican, but I mentioned this earlier, he said in a tweet, even worse, the Circuit Attorney's Office has admitted there is a backlog of cases and dozens of homicides that have not been prosecuted, yet she has accelerated this case forward.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is political.
He basically could have said, show me the other prosecutions. Yeah, you know.
Right. That's an elected position, isn't it, DA?
She's described as a circuit prosecutor. I'm not sure.
Is that the equivalent of a district attorney?
I don't think it's an appointed. I don't think it's an appointed. I think it's an elected. But I'm just saying on the basis of what most big cities do.
I tell you what. Again, I know I'm making a broad generalization, but if I lived in a big city, I'd be selling my house so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Big city proper, at least. Yeah. I'd get way, way out in the suburbs or get out of town because it's only going to get worse, in my opinion.
I believe that's correct, because these are cities all run for the most part by Democrats, but not just your grandfather's Democrats.
Right.
We're talking about Democrats that have gone
radical.
Further and further and further left. These are radicals.
Defund the police people.
Yes, defund the police people, and we're not going to prosecute homicides kinds of people. We're going to prosecute the law-abiding citizens defending their property kind of people, and the kind of people like in New York City who demand bail reform so that you can't even keep people in jail, and we're going to release people because we don't want them getting COVID, including sex offenders, that kind of stuff going on in these
right.
big cities. You're
yeah.
right. It's a disaster.
I'd be getting out of a big city.
It is an elected position. According to Fox 2 Now, there in the St. Louis area, Gardner, the circuit attorney, kicked off her re-election campaign on May 28th. And
yeah,
all
see, the problem, after. The problem, one of the problems you're running into here, and the reason I say get out, if I were in a city controlled by the Democrats that were larger than a million people or 500,000 even, probably is because the people who are voting, they want these people to be in charge.
Right.
That's a shock to the system for a lot of people listening to me right now. But the people who voted for her in St. Louis, they want her to go after this couple because that's the way they think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's sort of frightening. We've come to a divide like that in our country. And I'm not saying a majority of Americans believe like that, but your far left people who control these big cities, they want to go after people with who are considered privileged, like mm-hmm. this couple, because they live in a gated community. To me, the reason they're going after this couple is because A, they're rich,
right?
B, they're white, and C, they live in a gated community. So let's bring down those people. Those people need to be punished. That's
right.
The thinking
right.
of the socialist Marxist ideology that George Soros funds. The way this lady, prosecutor,
is her title.
That's the way she thinks. That's the reason she's going after them rather than going after the people who were the roaming mob who were going through her neighborhood.
She's playing to the crowd. And your point is there's more of those kinds of people
in the big cities.
Who support this. And we've talked to people in Seattle and in the Seattle area, Portland, Oregon, where we're hearing, we asked Brian Fisher, who's living in the People's Republic of Washington, the communist state up there. And we asked him, he said, do people in the Seattle area seem to be upset at what the radicals were doing? This is before they, took down the CHOP, festive zone in downtown. He said, no, that the people seem to be cheering it on as long as it's not in their neighborhood.
Right.
So
same thing's going on in Portland, Oregon right now. So, which leads us to another topic. You know where this leads us, Chris?
You tell me.
I don't know either.
You guys, it leads us to President Trump because some are calling for him to intervene.
Yes.
You see where I'm going with this?
I do. Yeah. We actually have sound to that effect. Yesterday, speaking from the White House, President Trump, he said, we're going to do something to stop this anarchy. Clip 5.
I'm going to do something that I can tell you, because we're not going to let New York and Chicago and Philadelphia, Detroit and Baltimore and all of these, Oakland is a mess. We're not going to let this happen in our country. All run by liberal Democrats.
We have
more federal law enforcement, that I can tell you. In Portland, they've done a fantastic job. They've been there 3 days, and they really have done a fantastic job in a very short period of time. No problem. They grab them. A lot of people in jail. They're leaders. These are anarchists. These are not protesters.
Yeah.
People say protesters. These people are anarchists. These are people that hate our country, and we're not going to let it go forward.
Guys, I'm sorry.
I'll stop right here. There's disagreement. I know there's disagreement among our listeners because there's disagreement in my house on this one. Alice, my wife, she says it's time President Trump do something about this. And I say, no, it's not. Of course, I don't push the issue because I want to golf on Saturday. I say, but I can. I just say something like, but I can see how your viewpoint. she doesn't say to me, I can see your viewpoint. But that's neither here nor there because our marriage is secure. But here is my point. I think Ed Battagliano agrees with me.
I do. We've talked about this.
And again, this is not thus saith the Lord, folks. So if you disagree with what we're about to say, Chris, you may disagree. That is fine. And I understand where you're coming from if you say he needs to intervene. The president does. But now, if you're talking about protecting federal property in these cities, I'm all with you. For example, in Portland, that's a federal courthouse that these anarchists have defaced, graffiti's all over the place. It's awful what these folks have done and what they're burning stuff in front of the building and so forth and so on, and dumpster fires everywhere. It looks like something out of a Mad Max movie when I've seen it. However, I don't think the president should do squat to help the people of Oregon or Minneapolis or Seattle. Let them burn down their cities if they want to. No, not if they want to. Let them solve their own problems because they created their own problems. The minute President Trump does like he's talking about here, he starts sending in federal troops, then you got Kent State possibilities all over again. And we all remember from the 60s, right, what happened there. And that will happen. That will happen. You'll have federal agents get in shooting matches. And they're not matches. Anyway, get into fights.
Exchange of gunfire.
Exchange of gunfire, billy clubs, beating force. And it's going to be like Nancy Pelosi, she called them stormtroopers. Now, that's very offensive to the federal agents. But that's the way it's going to be portrayed. And guess what? President Trump loses that battle in the court of a public opinion. And again, I could be proven wrong, but I think he needs to stay out of this. What do you think?
No, I agree. We've talked about this before. Here's the reality of – here's one of the principles that's a reality of life. You break it, you own it. So whoever breaks these cities owns it. If President Trump says, I'm going to solve the anarchy, that is an invitation to the anarchists. You'll have more of them showing up. And what will happen is they will provoke a confrontation.
Yes, they will.
Because they know it looks bad on the president if federal agents crack some heads. Or, as you pointed out, there's an exchange of gunfire, and you have three innocent people who die, and they were just there protesting, and then the president owns that situation. I think, with the exception of federal buildings, which he has every right to do, the president should stay out of these cities for exactly the reason you said. These Democrat mayors and their city councils, they broke the city, they own it.
And the people of those towns voted for these political leaders.
Right.
So don't bail them out. Don't help them out. Let liberalism and socialism be seen for what it is.
Right.
I think that's the advantage. That I actually think this works. Now, I feel bad for the law-abiding citizens of those towns and communities who don't vote for these leaders.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you're going to sign up to live in Seattle, in Portland, you got to take what the people of your community vote for as your leadership.
Right.
And
that's, elections have consequences.
Right. There's a reason some people commute 35, 50 minutes to work because they don't want to live in the city where they work.
Right.
Well, some of these, I don't think, I hope somebody advises the president, no. Don't because he listed a list of about eight cities he's ready to go into.
Well, he's a law and order guy. I understand that. That's your wife, Allison. Law and order. People who are law and order people can't stand to see anarchists destroying civilization. Our response is let's do something, but the president in an election year has to be politically savvy.
Also, most times we conservatives are for letting states solve their own problems, aren't we?
Right. Yeah.
Not for the feds coming in. We'll be back in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III of the Hamilton Corner.
Let's not sacrifice our children. Let's not sacrifice our families on the altar of external faithfulness. Husbands, let's love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Have you ever wanted to walk where Jesus walked? That's right, Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're going in March 2021. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have set our dates for our trip, March 16th through the 24th, and we'd love to have you join us for this, for many people, once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land. For more information, just visit the website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, we can do that. You need to call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll get that brochure in the mail to you. Again, it's going to be a wonderful time with Christian brothers and sisters from around the country as we go and see Israel.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
If you plan on loading up the SUV and taking a family vacation, you might want to avoid New York City. Crime there is up 130%. Crime and violence are so bad, the city of East Fishkill, New York, has issued a travel advisory warning residents to stay away. City leaders say criminals are targeting and attacking random citizens, as if New York City has been turned into some sort of a third world country. The rise in crime is blamed in part on the city's decision to shut down the police department's undercover division and a bail reform law that literally keeps very bad people out on the streets instead of behind bars. So if you do go to the Big Apple, you might want to pack a Kevlar vest and pepper spray. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download my podcast free of charge at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, folks are already signing up for our Holy Land trip in March. You might say, well, what about the virus, Tim? And Tim would say, as we continue our talk in third person here, really? March? Huh? And we're still dealing with the virus in March? Then, I don't know. If life's even worth living anymore. So, is that a Christian attitude right there?
Ed is not sure.
Okay, I don't know. What I'm saying to you folks is, yes, we're going in March. The virus is here. We're going anyway, because the virus is not going away then if it's still here in March, okay? So, we're going to Israel, the Holy Land, as we always do in March. And we'd love to have you go with us if you would like to see the land where Jesus walked. And so we are already having folks sign up for that trip. March is typically a nice month to go because the weather's pleasant in Israel. It can get hot in the summer, but in March it's very nice. And so if you want to join us, go to the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com, twholyland.com. We'd love to have you join us. A lot of our folks are AFR listeners. It'll be my wife, Allison, and I, and our sons, Wesley and Walker, will be joining us as well. You are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, meaning she represents us in our nation's capital. And she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, her weekdays on AFR from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim.
How many times have you been to Israel?
I think three.
Three times?
Just three. You beat me 20 times over, I'm sure.
Yes, I think.
You've been 60 times?
I've been 27, I think.
Wow.
26 or 27. That only means the years are going by. I thought about that the other day. That is a wow. Stop and think about that for just a moment. Sandy, you were talking this morning with a gentleman. What was the fellow's name? Was he a doctor?
No, he's not a doctor. Phil Kirpin. Phil is
Phil,
Phil, how can I describe Phil? Phil, I don't know what his actual training is, but he's like an engineer. He's he understands data collection. He does research. He's kind of a mainstay in D.C. Like, he's a well-known pundit in D.C. But so he's been really working. I actually think, now he hasn't actually told me this, but I think the reason his interest in COVID peaked was because he has school-age children. And that began to kind of draw him into this discussion. And he's really become an expert on what's happening, the rates of death, the actual hospitalizations, trying to track what's true and what isn't. So that it was Phil Kirpin.
Okay. What do you think about it all? I know it's an open-ended question, and and you don't hide your feelings well on your show about this. But maybe somebody,
I thought I did.
Yeah,
you're
not a neutral
burst.
Observer. You are a neutral observer, but I mean, you have an opinion too based on the information that you processed. Go ahead and tell us what you think about us. Do you think the numbers are way inflated in terms of...
We know that for a fact. Actually, Tim, we know that because of a local Fox station in Florida, for instance, that over 300 of the labs that were, you know, processing COVID tests reported nearly 100% positives on their tests. Now, that's statistically impossible. So when this local Fox station went to Orlando Health and said, hey, what's going on here? 100% positives, mic in the mouth, you know. The response was, oh, we looked at it again and it's only 10%. Yeah, so that's just one of 300. So we know that the numbers are being exaggerated. Florida,
why?
Of course.
Why, though? What's the motivation for exaggerating the numbers?
I think there are a lot of reasons, Tim. I guess a short-term reason would be that there is an attempt to shut down and mute President Trump's voice. He was, of course, would have been having rallies and meetings, and those have been made rendered virtually impossible because of protests and because of COVID. The people that support him are fearful right now because they are compliant. They believe the propaganda that they're hearing, even on Fox, day in and day out, and day in and day out, and day in and day out. By the way, I was in the airport just recently, and the thing, I was in Chicago, and I guess that was the only airport I was in. No, Orlando Airport also. And over again, we heard it was like 1984. It was like, the CDC has recommended mask wearing. Please maintain social distancing. The CDC has, and this is what you're hearing in the airport. You're not hearing music. You're not hearing, it's just hammer. So people are believing, you know, Goebbels said, if you tell a lie often enough, people believe it's the truth. And I believe I know because I've seen the stats, I've seen the information, this is exactly what's happening.
Okay, let me ask you this, and Ed, Chris, feel free to chime in with this.
I will chime.
Please, get ready to chime.
I'm going
to
chime.
You do shine, Ed, so you get ready to chime, too. Is there money involved here? Is there money involved in inflating the numbers?
Yes, there is a motive for hospitals and labs to inflate. I don't know. I can't tell you what the arrangement is with the labs. I can't speak to that. But I know with hospitals, there have been financial incentives put in place by CDC and other agencies. Like if you admit someone to the hospital and It's you claim that they're COVID, you get a certain bonus.
So you're
bonus
on your honor system. You're putting human beings on the honor system when it comes to money.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't even work in church.
Well, see, and that's why you have so many reports of hospitals claiming people have died of COVID when actually they died like of motorcycle accidents, which is just one recent example.
That's criminal,
Florida.
I don't know if there's a law against that, but that is just, you're telling me a person died in a tragically in a motorcycle accident. Did that really happen, or you just
no,
using
I've
that?
No, I've heard of that myself.
No, it
is it documented,
no,
or y'all just making
documented.
This?
It's documented. Oh, my goodness, no, it's documented, yeah. Tim. It's the local health dude made a, what was he, coroner?
I believe so. Coroner, okay. Somebody heavily involved.
I mentioned this yesterday. I do know a couple things here. They're anecdotal, but still, if what Sandy, that was not anecdotal, what Sandy just shared, that was a documented news story.
I'm looking it up.
Okay, about the lab. Is it the lab you said that had 100% positive?
Yeah, it was claiming 300 labs, Tim.
You see, I wonder. Yeah.
300 labs in Florida, where supposedly everyone here is dying of Florida, of COVID.
Okay, so 300 labs in Florida are reporting 100%?
They were reporting at least 90, 95, 98%, many of them 100%.
And that means out of all the people who were tested, 95% had a positive that they had COVID. Mm-hmm. Which is
ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, yes, we know that. Everybody knows that. So, except the people who put out that press release. Who's in that office?
Right.
Huh?
Well, that's why the president is switching, and he is asking now the numbers that are coming in from the country to go through the Health and Human Services and Alex Azar, who's the secretary there, rather than the CDC. The CDC is, from my perspective, completely corrupt. That's part of the problem. And there was actually a story this morning about an examination of what kind of campaign donations people who work at the CDC give. And they have given 8,000, I think, to Democratic causes. Act Blue is the one they given the most to. Act Blue is a extraordinarily abundant billion dollars fundraising tool for the Democrats.
Okay.
Two have gone to Republicans. So
CDC,
the CDC, out of which
you're saying the CDC is a left wing organization.
Yeah, supposed to, it's a federal agency, but it's a completely leftist tool.
So
they're the ones telling us we should social distance by 6 feet, which is not scientific either, Tim. They made that up out of whole cloth. There was no scientific research to say that we should social distance by 6 feet.
Well, now wait a second. I was at Walmart the other day, dutifully wearing my mask, and I saw it on the floor. Sandy, it said 6 foot, stay 6 feet away. So it's got to be based on facts.
Save money, live better, 6 feet.
Okay, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, I am in complete agreement with your sentiments.
You think that was too sarcastic?
But well, I would just say the reason for 6 feet is it keeps you, if you sneeze or cough, you don't get on somebody if you do when you're 2 feet. So does that make sense?
Yes, makes sense. But
well, I just
Sandy is saying it's not scientific. It's just a number.
But it's
out.
Common sense. You want me to be sick and move a couple feet from you here, or you want me to stay 6 feet
why
away?
Why not 10 feet?
Huh? Yeah, are you sure it's 6 feet, Tim? Are you sure it's 6 feet for a sneeze?
Well, I agree it's subjective, but I mean, you got to come up with a number. You can't just.
Well, okay, so let's come up with another number. Let me just tell you that the masks that they've tested, and you can virtually, depending on the study that you read, but these cloth masks, bandanas, the masks that people are wearing, unless they are the same grade that doctors wear,
I know,
don't protect you at all. It's like protecting, like keeping a mosquito from flying through a chain link fence. It's just ridiculous. Okay. Now, and even the masks that are surgical grade only prevent half of whatever it is getting through.
Hey, hold on just a second. Am I being overbearing here?
No. We're sitting around with a cup of coffee, just friends talking.
Okay, all right. I just don't want to dominate the conversation here.
Feel free to. Ed does not mind.
Okay.
the conversation.
I wanted to say the mask thing. I do not understand how Dr. Fauci and the Surgeon General of the United States in March said, quit buying masks. They don't do any good. Didn't they?
Right.
They did.
The Surgeon General and Dr. Fauci. So when did the science change?
Yeah, they say it's based on more data coming in, and they're looking at the data and things
okay.
like that.
Okay. They did say that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you may not
but
like
look
that
at the
answer.
Data. The
okay,
data's
you
up
may,
in the
you,
air.
You may not like that answer, but that is an answer. Now, I don't agree with it necessarily in the sense that, like Sandy says, we got homemade face masks and, so forth and so on.
Can I ask Sandy a question?
Please.
All right. Sandy, let me just ask you this. Now, this is starting to weigh on me, so I want you to give me some hope, Sandy, okay? Here's the thing.
I'll
now,
try.
I've said many times over the last 4 years that I've been following politics since I was in the seventh grade. I have never seen anything like what I have watched and observed over the last 4 years in terms of an entire world being against one man, okay? Talking about Donald Trump and the media. I watched someone send something around today, and most people will probably see it over the next week, very funny, where they took clips of the media, I'm sure talking about President Obama, and they turned it around as if he was talking about President Trump and how wonderful his speech was and all that, and I thought, man, that's never going to happen. So here's my question. I thought the president had a 60-40 chance of being reelected because of the economy.
In February.
In February.
Yeah.
And now I'm saying it's 50-50. Maybe he's underwater in terms of his chances of winning because of this coronavirus thing. You talked about it. There are a lot of people, even Trump supporters, who are scared to death. How in the world is the president going to get out of this when everything is against the president and possibly, in many places, against the truth about this virus?
How is he going to get out of the conundrum over the virus or
well,
the
I mean,
election?
Both.
Yeah.
Because this coronavirus has the potential, as they're talking about a second lockdown and all this kind of thing, to further blanket the economy. You might have schools not opening. And forget about the Antifa-run, anarchy in some of our cities. This coronavirus thing, I believe there are many people in and outside the government who want this to suffocate the election chances of the president. And I'm thinking it looks like it's working.
I agree with you, Ed. It is working. And this is probably as distressing to me as anything we could discuss.
Thank you, Ed.
When I go to my
get
friends,
ready.
When I go to my church, and I see people, 25% of them only coming. When I see people glaring and in grocery stores, when we were at Mayo Clinic, lots of glares from people that thought we weren't quite as compliant as we should be. Frightened to death, we're going to get in the elevator and stand too close.
Right.
We are turning on each other. And Christians are as bad as anyone I can see. And I don't know why they are so willing to believe lies. I recognize that propaganda has its effect. But I thought that most of us understood propaganda, had read enough and seen enough in our lifetimes to know that truth sometimes cannot be found in the evening news, even in Fox. Fox has become as bad as any channel on this stuff. On COVID, absolutely as bad. And I thought, I guess I am compelled to continue until I lose my voice, which I might, Some of my friends are taking it on the chin. Did you see Michelle Malkin
yes.
get attacked in Denver? Did you hear Tucker Carlson's, a plea, not plea, but just last night, the New York Times is getting ready to publish his home address after he's already had to move once? Because they want him gone and worse. Do you think for a minute those people in the streets and on the attacking people who feel the same way that we do would hesitate? You think to harm us in some way? To hurt our children? They're happy to cost us our jobs. We are in tremendous danger. And these masks, the mask wearing in itself is neutral. It has no moral component. But the thing is that it is being used by propagandists to subject us, and it's working like a charm.
Now,
it's working like a charm.
This is not the answer I was hoping for, Sandy. I was hoping for a little bit of sunshine coming through the dark clouds.
No, I don't feel very sunshiny right now.
Yeah.
I'll give you this sunshine. I am praying that God will help us. I am praying and pleading with him that as he negotiated with Abraham to find 10 good men in Sodom, that he will remember that there are thousands of good men and women who love him in this country, and that he will hear our prayers. The thing of it is, I see things shaking loose. I think that, you know, the wheat is being separated from the tares. And I don't know. Because I trust God, then, you know, whatever happens, happens, Ed. I mean, I think this is a wake-up call. I'm like the prophet that everybody hated, including the king. Shut up, shut up, shut up. But I'm telling you, they're going to come for us with a vengeance. And yes, a lot of it hinges on the reelection of Donald Trump. He's not our savior, but he is the only person. He's got guts. He's got character, uncommon character, in spite of what they say. And he is the only person standing between us and disaster.
Okay,
they will come after our families. They'll come after our organizations. They'll come after our bank accounts. They will take away Social Security or reduce it for people that have the wrong thinking. It will be a nightmare, and it's going to happen fast.
Okay,
so this is a wake-up call.
So give real quickly here, because now it sounds like I'm dominating the conversation. Three things that you're asking God for that the people listening to this program say, this is what I want you to pray. Pray these three things.
You're asking me that question.
Okay, I'm gonna throw one in, and then you toss in however many you want.
Okay.
I'm praying that God will expose the lies underneath this far left assault on our foundational principles. That people would say things not knowing they're on the microphone, that they would be overheard, that the truth that is being submerged beneath this river of lies, if you will be unveiled, and God can do that. Give me one thing that you're praying for that'll happen before this election.
I'm praying that God will purify his people, and that he will unleash his power in us, that no matter what happens, if we have sort of a victory in our own eyes, a temporal victory here in this country, then so be it. But if we lose, that he will either way, in a win or a loss, that he will purify his people so that we can throw off all of the encumbrances, the King James Version, but all of the junk that we thought was important, that isn't important.
Right.
That he will shake us to our core, and we will see him in a mighty way, and we will be faithful so that we can transform our own lives, our families' lives, our country's lives, our community, and our world. That's what I'm praying for, Ed.
Okay. That's
Amen.
Excellent.
Amen. You're listening to, can you stay with us five more minutes?
Sure.
Sandy Rios with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Chris and Ed. And we thank you, as always, for listening. Should you like to send us an email, just use this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Today's Issues, the name of the program, American Family Radio, is the network. And I absolutely agree with Sandy that the secular left, the so-called progressives, should President Trump lose, and God forbid that he should lose. But if he loses, these people who hate our guts will be unleashed on all of us in different various ways. You see, Sandy said they're coming after Tucker Carlson now. New York Times wanting to dox him by exposing his home address. That's what I heard.
Yes, and as an clearly an invitation for people to go visit him.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
So the idea here is to, if you can't lock them up,
Did you have something on this, Chris?
Well, yeah, Steve got the audio of Tucker Carlson here talking about the coming report doxing him and putting his family in danger. Clip 10.
Last week, the New York Times began working on a story about where my family and I live. As a matter of journalism, there is no conceivable justification for a story like that. The paper is not alleging we've done anything wrong, and we haven't. We pay our taxes. We like our neighbors. We've never had a dispute with anyone. So why is the New York Times doing a story on the location of my family's house? Well, you know why. To hurt us. To injure my wife and kids so that I will shut up and stop disagreeing with them. They believe in force. The paper has assigned a political activist called Murray Carpenter to write a story about where we are now. They've hired a photographer called Tristan Spinski to take pictures. Their story about where we live is slated to run in the paper this week. Editors there know exactly what will happen to my family when it does run. I called them today and I told them, but they didn't care. They hate my politics. They want this show off the air. If one of my children gets hurt because of a story they wrote, they won't consider it collateral damage. They know it's the whole point of the exercise, to inflict pain on our family, to terrorize us, to control what we say.
Now, following up on that, Steve just handed me a tweet here from the New York Times PR office. They say the New York Times, quote, does not plan to publish Tucker Carlson's residence, which Carlson was aware of before his broadcast.
Okay.
So the story continues. We will follow up on that.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They got hushed. I think his comments last night shut them up. That's what that's
all
about.
Yeah, I agree with that because look what happened last week at the New York Times. A very liberal editor resigned because the woke crowd forced her out.
Yeah.
Right.
The woke crowd being the ones who would dox Tucker Carlson and everybody else.
That
and
editor dared to share the truth with everybody.
And if something happened to Tucker Carlson's family after he made this on those broadcasts, the New York Times, I would think, would be subject to a
I tell you what, really,
what
I'm really concerned about, though, and we'll have to see in November, and a lot of things can happen between now and then, I'm worried that a majority of our fellow Americans agree with the secular progressives. I don't know if that's true or not, but when I see these surveys with Biden up 10 points, then that tells me there's a lot of people who are ready to abandon our heritage and abandon our constitutional principles. Y'all may think I'm being over...
No, I don't.
Huh?
I don't think that's an exaggeration
after
at all.
Decades and decades of indoctrination in the colleges and universities from socialism, Marxism, leftism, combine that with the constant attacks on President Trump and the Republicans, but President Trump in particular, by Hollywood, by the media, by China, by the European Union, by the World Health Organization, not to mention the Never Trump Republicans.
Right.
And I didn't even mention the Democrats.
Right.
The Democrats. So all those forces are arrayed against President Trump.
And us.
And us, because as Frank Turek once said, President Trump is the bully facing the bullies who want to get to eat us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny, but you know, right. That description is a little humorous to me, but that's the way Frank Turek described it. Sandy, thanks so much, and we certainly agree with your sentiments about what to pray for, and appreciate you being on with us, and
thank you,
we'll
Tim.
Talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, someday I'll bring you good news, okay, I promise. In heaven, we'll have a laugh.
Next week, gardening tips and recipes, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Bye, you guys. Bye-bye. God bless each of you. Okay, bye-bye.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.